Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Hiya! Welcome to the Nerdcore podcast, episode 267, and this is the podcast that talks the nerd shit and reviews the movies. This is Pennywise the dancing clown. Oh man, Pennywise, don't get close to the mic, man. It's not cool. This is episode 267 of the Nerdcore podcast, and if you didn't know by that voice, we're doing the review of it today. And as always, it is your nerd Chicano here to host the show alongside my wonderful co-host, Young Yoda.
Where's Slenderman when you need him?
Where's Slenderman? I don't know where he is. But I know where Kermit the Frog is. Just terrible impressions. People are just getting... It's okay, guys. It's Kermit the...
the Frog. What, did it eat Kermit? What the fuck?
It's Kermit the Frog. Alright, man. The terrible impressions out of the way. But Brad, how are you doing today?
I was doing better before. I don't know about now.
Oh, well, I'm barely out the shower. I'm feeling fresh, so it's review time for me, baby. Excuse me. Did not want to burp into the microphone. Oh, man. But Brad, today today I'm revisiting a movie. You are barely reviewing the movie for the first time. Even though we've talked about this movie nonstop since we've had this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it was my top movie for that year.
Yeah, it was. It was your number one movie of 2017, man. And rightfully deserved. So, look. We don't have anything else to talk about before, so I think we should just, like, honestly get into it, unless there's anything you need to point out that's happened from now until then.
Nope.
Oh, yes. I need to recommend you all a movie that I watched for my World Film and Film Theory class.
It's Vertigo?
Good Lord, no, Brad. No. How many times? I do not recommend watching Vertigo 5 times, guys. After the third time, I think it's good to put it down for a bit. But look, I watched a German film called Phoenix. Really, really good movie, and possibly the greatest ending to a film I've ever seen, ever. We're talking about such a beautiful ending. So you guys should definitely go watch that. It is a German film, and it's from 2015, I think. 2015 it was released to the United States. So it was 2014 when it released in Germany. But yeah, Brad, do you watch anything as of late that was, except for this film that we're talking today?
I'm trying to think. What did I watch? No, I think it was the latest thing I watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Don't worry about it. I watched that. I believe I also watched, I watched a terrible movie called El Ramona from Netflix. I didn't even want to finish that. That was terrible as fuck.
Was it worse than Venom?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Holy shit.
I'm not able to... I wasn't even able to rate this film on Letterboxd. At least Venom, I gave it a 1.5 because there was actually aspects that I thought were honestly pretty okay with Venom. With this film, there's absolutely nothing that's good about this movie.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, but you guys can go and decide for yourselves how you feel about that film. But Phoenix is a 5 stars for sure. 5 stars out of 5 stars. You guys should go and watch that. It's an incredible film, and go do that. What's on the agenda for you to see soon, Brad? I know I've got 3 films that I'm trying to rent for next week.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've got Transit, Booksmart, and Last Black Man in San Francisco to rent for next week. Because it's about time I get those finished, and hopefully three of those make it into my top 10 list. But yeah, Booksmart, been waiting for that one for a while. Finally out September 3rd to rent, but for now, it looks like we're just gonna have to stop stalling here and just go into the review, right?
I mean, because there's nothing that I got family coming over this week, so I'll be lucky to get any fucking thing done.
Yeah, sucks for you, Brad. Doesn't suck that much for me.
Might suck for you.
Why? We record until Sunday. This is the last time we hear each other.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Look.
You'll see.
Why?
Huh? Just
say. Don't tell me we can't. What's it called?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, what the?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, shut up, Brad. whatever. Look, let's go again and get into this. So you've never seen It Chapter 1, aka It 2017. Do not go and listen to this if you haven't. If you have, then keep on listening to this. This is, you know, 265 episodes later. And what's it called? You know, it's time for us to get to do this, man. And it's pretty.
Let's get to floating.
So if you do not want to float because you have not watched this film, then go ahead and click off. But we're doing this review again because we are in anticipation for It Chapter 2 next week. And I thought it was a perfect time to just revisit this gem of a film. Let's go ahead and get it.
Not again for me.
Well, yeah.
Because I didn't exist on this podcast back then.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get into it then, Brad, in a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. It, retroactively known as It Chapter 1, is a 2017 American supernatural horror film based on Stephen King's 1986 novel of the same name, produced by New Line Cinema, Rat Pack, Dune Entertainment, that didn't age well, Cat Smith Productions, Lynn Pictures, Vertigo Entertainment, and distributed by Warner Brothers. It is the second adaptation of the novel following a 1990 miniseries, and a sequel is planned. It's coming out next week. The film tells the story of 7 children in Derry, Maine, who are terrorized by the eponymous being, only to face their own personal demons in the process. The film is directed by Andy Muschietti, written by Chase Palmer, Kerry Fukunaga, and Gary Duberman. Jadim Leibner stars as Bill Denbro, Bill Skarsgård starring as Pennywise the Dancing Clown. Jeremy Ray Taylor, Sophia Lillis, Finn Wolfhard, Wyatt Olaf, Chosen Jacobs, Jack Dylan Grazer, Nicholas Hamilton, and Jackson Robert Scott are all featured in supporting roles. Principal photography began in Toronto on June 27, 2016 and ended on September 21st, 2016. The locations for it include the municipality of Port Hope, Oshawa, Ontario, and Riverdale, Toronto. It premiered in Los Angeles on September 5th, 2017, and was released in the United States on September 8th, 2017 in 2D and IMAX. The film set numerous box office records and has grossed over $700 million worldwide. Unadjusted for inflation, it is the highest grossing R-rated horror film of all time, the highest grossing horror film internationally, and the highest grossing horror film of all time. It received positive reviews, with critics praising the performances, direction, cinematography, and musical score, and many calling it one of the best Stephen King adaptations. It received numerous awards and nominations, earning 2 Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association nominations, including Best Acting Ensemble. It was nominated for Critics' Choice Movie Award for Best Sci-Fi Horror Movie. The film won 3 Boogie Awards for pulling in more than 2 million German admissions in 11 days. In addition, the motion picture has been named as one of the best films of 2017 by various ongoing critics, appearing on several critics' end-of-year lists. A sequel, It Chapter 2, is set to be released on September 6, 2019, aka next week. Yeah, so there is no lying to you all that this film had a lot of, you know, ups and downs before it became the film that it was supposed to be. David Kazhaganich was supposed to do it in 2009, ended up departing the project in 2010. Kerry Fukunaga was supposed to be doing it in 2012, ended up departing in 2015, until Andy Muschietti boarded the project in 2015, and it happened in 2017. So, you know, It went through a lot of people. It went through so many scripts, I believe, rewrites and changing of directors, and it finally happened, man. And what's it called? This movie, man. This movie. I'm gonna go ahead and turn it to the big Stephen King fan in the room, because Brad's a big Stephen King fan. So, Brad, what were your initial thoughts? What are your initial thoughts on It, Chapter One?
Well, just going back to all the changes in writers, directors, all that. That's a normal Stephen King movie.
Yeah, I know.
And most of the time it ends up in being a horrible Stephen King movie. So praise be to whoever watching over this thing. It turned out to be, you know, a blessing in disguise that Muschietti actually came on and directed mm-hmm. this. And it is probably the best Stephen King movie that's been adapted from one of his novels ever. Other than maybe The Shining. I won't go that far.
Would you call that one much of an adaptation?
No. I mean, Stephen King even hated The Shining. So, you know, kind of went off the rails there. But Shining's a fucking amazing movie. And this, you know, this sticks very close to the story. And it's great. I mean, this deserves all the praise after all the shit that has gone for this. From the 90s miniseries that was horrible in every significant way. I mean, the first half of it was okay. But there wasn't really much to talk about that 90s miniseries other than the section with adults was pure and utter garbage.
So look, man, I was going to say that it is incredible to see what Andy Muschietti had done with the film. Because, you know, this is a man who only had done one film before this one, Mama. And, you know, what's it called? This is his second film. Let that sink into your brain, Brad. You know, and his first one was so good, it got the attention of Guillermo del Toro, you know. And It Chapter 2 will only be his third film. And then the film after this that he'll be working on will be The Flash.
Yeah, and, so, I mean, his career has skyrocketed after this. But can you really blame it after just how great this movie ended up being?
Oh, no, man. That's why I'm telling you, man, that Muschietti is, you can tell throughout this whole film. So everybody who knows me knows that in episode 2 of this podcast, go and listen to it. I said that I liked this movie a lot, but there was aspects that I did not like that much. It was usually, what's it called, I found some performances to be a little bit, you know, what's it called? A little bit annoying at times. Back in episode 2, I'm able to say because of a third rewatch, I can tell you wholeheartedly that I think this movie is absolutely one of the best Stephen King adaptations, and I think it stays true to the whole idea of the Kid Losers Club. You know, these literally are kids, man. These are kids. You know.
Yeah, and before this, I mean, other than maybe Stranger Things, which is a television adaptation, you didn't really have that group of kids, not for a long time, like since Stand By Me or The Goonies.
Yeah.
Well, you had something kind of like this telling, you know, a group of kids' story.
Yeah, this is very much a horror film, but it's also a coming-of-age film. And I think it's a film that has to say a lot of things. I mean, it talks about trauma. It talks about, you know, just what it is to be a child afraid of the unknown and having to face that fear.
And also that Pennywise wasn't the most scary thing in this movie.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Bill even says it, you know, I'm more afraid to go back home and not see my little brother than I am to go into this abandoned house with a fucking clown inside of it.
Well, and he also said that Beverly was never scared of it because her father was the true monster in her life.
Yeah, and, you know, there's some characters that actually don't have any fears, like, you know, what's it called, big fears, like traumatic fears. You know, Richie just hates clowns, but, you know.
So I think that's why Pennywise takes the form of the clown is, one, he was a clown before, and, you know, Richie hates clowns.
Yeah, Richie just hates clowns. What's it called? I can't remember the kid, the fat kid. God, what was the name of him? I'm completely blanking here.
The fat kid. Fat kid, really?
Well, fuck off, man. I'm trying to remember.
Jeremy Raymond Taylor is Ben Hanson.
Ben, okay, Ben, okay, Ben, yeah, and Ben, you know, he was kind of like, you know, his kind of fear outside of the clown was the fact that here comes this girl that he really likes that was the first person to actually give him some form of attention, and, you know, Bill's kind of taking it away from him.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a part of growing up is you have these crushes that, you know, don't end up turning into what you hope them to, but that's life.
Yeah. You know, what's it called? Beverly, of course, was the dad who was the big, you know, the big villain to her. Richie was the clowns. Eddie, who can forget about Eddie? What's it called? Eddie was the whole, his mom, his overprotective mom. Like,
yeah, you know, the lepers, and she's basically just drugging him with placebos.
Yeah. Gazebos,
placebos.
Yeah, Stanley is the fact that he just cannot get away from a fucking rabbi of a dad who's just forcing them to do these things that he just cannot, has no interest in doing when he just wants to be a goddamn kid, right?
Yeah,
yeah, and of course the one of the characters that I feel is the most interesting is I can't remember his name. The other one, I'm not gonna say like not him.
Mike Hanlon.
Mike is the fact that he feels like an outsider.
Well, and I mean, if you think about it, this place is in Derry, Maine.
Yeah, well, so. Bro, let's not go ahead and beat around the bush. I mean, Henry Bowers literally says, "Get out of my town." I think you know what type of sentiments are there when you.
That's what I was getting to. Derry, Maine. It's a bunch of fucking white people.
Yeah. Yeah, man. What's it called? Yeah, it's literally a bunch of white people. Like, he's the only black guy I see. Him and
he's homeschooled.
Yeah,
so
he's homeschooled.
I mean, and he loses his parents in a fire, and it's just, it's a horrifying, you know, his childhood has been horrifying up to this point.
Yeah. Not only is he able to have, you know, not only is he able to basically, you know, what's it called? Communicate with people outside of his home because, you know, sadly, the racist attitudes are there, but also the fact that he lost his parents in a very, very hard, way, you know, he got burned alive, man. And, you know, he also has to, live with that and be raised by his grandfather, who he really can't open up to that much.
Well, his grandfather's an old school, hard man, hardworking man. And he basically tells him either you got to be the one to kill the sheep or you are the sheep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. And I think that, these kids work so well together, man. The chemistry is there from the beginning. And I think that's just the best part of this film. It's just seeing how all these kids work together.
I love the Richie Eddie, just the back and forth.
Yeah.
I just love those scenes.
Yeah, dude. And what's it called? The fact that, like, they just all, like, you know, Richie and Eddie, like, they're the, I feel like if we were kids together, neighborhood friends who went to school in the same place, we would be Richie and Eddie, Brad.
Yeah, probably. I mean, we talk shit all the time to each other.
Yeah, but you see, like, even through all the shit that they put each other through, they can still hug it out, and they're still friends.
Well, as Richie put it at the end, you know, Bill, you put me through this and that and this and that, and now I gotta kill this fucking clown.
Yeah, but, you know, to me, I think out of all the kids, the one that, honestly, Brad, the one who I think stands out the most to me is Beverly. The second time around, I am so impressed by Sophia's, I believe that's her name, right?
Yeah, the Sophia...
actress? Lily?
Lilas? Lily's?
Yeah, I think so. Sophia Lily's performance as Beverly, she really stands out to me, especially, what's it called, that part where her dad is grabbing onto her arm, and she's like, and she's fighting him off and stuff. Like, I really, really like that scene. I think she's incredible in that.
Well, and every scene she is in, she brings something to that scene. I mean, like I was telling you, like that one scene with where the blood is just coming out of the sink.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Roll, is this a one take? Is you know, like, how do you do a multiple take on this? You would have to clean everything.
Yeah.
Also with CGI.
I was looking up online. I could not find anything on this. So, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. But,
I mean, she just adds to all the scenes, and everyone really forms around her, mm-hmm.
And Bill.
You know, they all fight together. They become a group because of it. And, you know, it's funny how they all... So, you know, basically you have Bill, Richie, Eddie, and Stanley. They're kind of the four main... Or the four main in the beginning story. And then Ben comes tumbling down, joins the group. And then because Ben's been stabbed, that's where Beverly comes in. And then at the end, they all form and, you know, basically save Mike from being stoned to death by... You know, Henry and the Jackasses.
Yeah, yeah. Also, Ben just has the worst luck, man. What's it called? He was getting his name, Henry's name carved in his stomach. And, you know, that was him bleeding from there. And then I think when they went into the house, then again he started bleeding from his stomach because he got cut or something. But, like, Ben just has no luck when it comes to his stomach area getting cut up.
No, but at least they never figured out he liked New Kids on the Block.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I thought that was so funny when he goes running to his room to take away all the memorabilia of New Kids on the Block, and he forgets the one thing that he like, is the biggest thing that people will see.
The giant poster behind the door.
The giant fucking poster.
But I like it. Beverly finds it. She looks at him, and she slowly just shuts the door so nobody else can see it. And that's true friendship.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that whole dynamic between the two. And, you know, all these kids work well together. But I think the real standout of this whole film, the one that you cannot, jump around and not talk about, is fucking Bill Skarsgård as fucking Pennywise, man. Holy shit, man.
I mean, let me go back. Let's take a trip back to the 90s miniseries.
Yeah.
And we all know who Pennywise was played by,
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry. And it is hard. That was like the best part of that whole miniseries. That's the only reason that it is actually any, like, has any form of greatness around it, is Tim Curry as Pennywise.
Yeah.
And he played that role.
Yeah.
You know, he was the mutant clown eating things. And he was, you know, Tim Curry basically played the scary clown. Mm-hmm. You know, that was his whole point. Bill Skarsgård, on the other hand, he don't know how to clown. He plays something that's trying to play a clown.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference. Tim Curry is a scary clown. That's why I hate clowns. But Bill Skarsgård, he is something not of that world who is trying to disguise himself as a clown.
And I think that adds more you know, mystic.
And it's more towards the adaptation, I think, of what Stephen King was trying to portray.
Mm-hmm.
And not taking anything away from Tim Curry. Tim Curry did a fantastic job. He did his job to the T. But I think Bill Skarsgård, you know, is closer to what Stephen King meant in the novel. And he captures that because, you know, we have moments where, you know, you're just watching this clown on screen and you're going, well, he doesn't really know. He's, you know, he doesn't know what the fuck to say, or, you know, you like peanuts? You like carousels? I don't know. Give me your arm.
Popcorn.
Popcorn, I don't know.
Yeah, popcorn.
That is what I think separates this from Tim Curry, is just Bill Skarsgård's portrayal is spot on to what the character in the book is.
Yeah, and I think he gets so lost in it, man. Like... You know, his performance is just really in tune with what he's doing on there, man. Like, it's freaky, man, the way he just gets into it.
Yeah, and he's none of that world. All he wants is the fear in those children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not trying to be a clown. He's trying to be an alien, trying to be a clown. So. Yeah. And I mean, it works perfectly, and it brings that terror factor because, you know, you're not scared of the clown. You're scared of what's underneath that clown.
Yeah. Yeah. I still can't believe this movie had a budget of $35 million, by the way.
That's pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why everybody was amazed when opening day it was what?
Yeah.
$130, $160
million? Yeah.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah, and something, two things that I need to point out that are incredible in this film that I sadly could not point out in episode two, because back then we had a 90-minute, limit on the podcast. You know, yes. It wasn't instituted by me. It was instituted by Anchor. But now we get to record for as long as we fucking want. I think we tested the limits with that when we did the two-hour episode. Chung Hoon Chung's cinematography in this movie is incredible, and I find the use of the Dutch angles really, really well executed.
Okay, now you gotta explain to me what a Dutch angle is, because I'm sitting over here like everyone else going, yeah. What the fuck does that mean?
So you know when the angle is kind of tilted diagonally,
mm-hmm.
That's a Dutch angle. Yeah. Of course, angles are created by Dutch filmmaking, but they were meant to like kind of, you know, enforce more of that, the emotion in the film. But Dutch angles were used a lot by Hitchcock. And, he doesn't use it in Vertigo, but he does use it a lot in Notorious. I know it's one that you have not seen. But basically, the way I can explain it to you, Brad, it is when you see that, you know, usually when an angle is, you know, stationary, it's like, what's it called? It's straight. But when a Dutch angle is being used, it's kind of curved diagonally. And you're kind of seeing, you know, the image as if it were being across, you know, like mm-hmm. an actual, like a, I don't know what number it would be in the actual angles, but it's incredible the use of it in this movie.
Well, in other parts of cinematography, I got to point out, is that scene where they have the sewer,
mm-hmm.
and it's like upside down, and it flips over to show you like where the sewer is coming out into the Barrens. I thought mm-hmm. that shot was perfectly done.
Oh yeah,
it just added to the effect better than if you know they just had the camera going through the sewer. Mm-hmm. You're spinning with the sewer, and it's showing that this film's about to get upside down in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, bro. For sure. Look, I'm going to go ahead and give you an example of the Dutch angle here from a film that we definitely know, because wonderful Mr. Zach Stance actually wrote this film. There we go. I think it should be sending in the Discord. It did not send. Damn it. Well, whatever. Look, I can send it to you through Twitter, Brad. But
I think I get what you mean, though.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of self-explanatory in a sense, man. I'm just telling you, it's like diagonal. But yes, I think that's incredible. I think the music is incredible as well. Oh my god, the music, you know, it really has a way of kind of creeping up on you in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I give it a lot of credit for reinventing my interest in horror, because after it, I started watching a lot more horror films. And
well, I mean, The Witch being one, and yeah, you know, kind of going back to like different, and you know, to me, it isn't like it is kind of part of the new age of horror that's coming mm-hmm. out. It's more, you know, it's more of a thriller in a way,
mm-hmm.
with a few jump scares here and there. It didn't go all out jump scare, thank God. Not like the mini series, but yeah,
the projector scene still scares the shit out of me.
That was kind of amazing though, the way they had that.
Oh, I know, but it still scares the shit out of me, Brad. You know,
yeah. Especially if you know it's your first time watching it, mm-hmm. and if anybody's listening to this hasn't watched it, shame on you. But if it's your first time watching it, you don't expect that. You expect like because it's like ended. They made it where like everything kind of ended, even the music kind of went silent, and then it just pops back up.
Yeah, yeah, and you're like, whoa, whoa, yeah, dude, it's incredible, man. And I think that this doesn't rely that much on jump scares. I think honestly, this film kind of lets the horror be a backdrop, and it relies a lot on the dialogue and the dynamic between the characters. I mean, even the bullies, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely more towards a kind of like a Stand By Me, Goonies, you know, kids growing up adaptation mm-hmm. versus a straight out horror. It's kids coming together to fight, you know, their fears along with the bullies. And really, the parts that are kind of scary are basically when Pennywise is like right in their face. Those mm-hmm. parts are kind of scary, like when he comes out of the fridge. Towards Eddie, that's kind of freaky.
Also, what's interesting, if I remember, I forgot to mention one thing, man. What's it called? I can't remember who was supposed to be Pennywise. Oh, that's right. You haven't watched, what's it called? Midsommar. I believe it is Roy Palmer. But it was this one guy who was actually supposed to be Pennywise before they got Bill. And, Brad, did you ever watch We Are the Millers?
No.
It's the one with Jennifer Aniston. You know, the guy has to basically take a bunch of weed over to Mexico. So he, you know,
why would he bring weed to Mexico?
He would recruit, he recruited, you know, a stripper, what's it called, Jennifer Aniston, and then this dumbass, what's it called, drug dealer, to be his family, pretend family?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I never did see it.
Okay. I'm trying to remember this guy. Oh, yeah, Will Poulter. I'm so sorry. Will Poulter was supposed to be, what's it called, Pennywise, when they were doing it with Fukunaga, if I'm correct. Brad, what did you, well, it's because, you know, have you seen a lot of stuff with Will Poulter?
I'm looking to see what he's got.
Mostly just a lot of comedic roles he's done, Brad.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
I can't see anybody else playing this other than Bill Skarsgård.
Honestly, yeah.
I think, like I said, this movie had a lot of luck going with it when, you know, things kind of look like pretty grim and then Muschietti falls into it and mm-hmm. Skarsgård falls into yeah. it and things just come together. And also, you have Finn Wolfhard, who brought in a lot of Stranger Things fans, who, you know, that is an 80s show. Mm-hmm. And yeah. this is kind of an 80s movie.
Well, so it is
you,
in the
you
80s.
You had Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, it is.
You had, yeah, mm-hmm. so you have Finn Wolfhard, who brought a lot of fans over
yeah.
to this movie. And I think that's why it did mm-hmm. so well.
I also think that Finn found his footing in this movie as well.
You know, in Stranger Things, he's not that comedic. He doesn't play the comedy part of that, not like everyone else.
Yeah.
But in this, yeah, he found his comedy aspect. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, man. And this fucking Richie is hilarious, man. You know, just all the little quirks and stuff that he's saying, and just she's making me laugh, man. I'm like, I know. 2 years. What's it called? Was it 2 years ago? No. Yeah, 2 years ago when I did this episode on the podcast in 2017, I said that I did not like Finn Wolfhard's, the performance, because I found it a little bit annoying. But I guess I just became more of a dumbass after 2017 because I was just laughing my ass off.
But that's the thing, though, is in the story, in the novel, you know, Richie is like that annoying character that won't yeah. fucking shut up and stop making jokes. Because yeah. that's how he makes himself comfortable in, you know, awkward and anxiety-filled situations.
Is yeah.
He makes jokes.
Yeah. What's it called? It's a gift, Brad. Yeah, it's a gift.
It's like you know, and I just, him and Eddie, I mean, I could watch a movie just them going back and forth and
yeah.
just bitching at each other.
Yeah.
It's, well, wait a minute. I could just listen to all the other fucking episodes on this podcast.
Basically, yeah. So, you know, I this movie's incredible. I think that this movie, you know, I can't wait for chapter two, but chapter one just holds a really special place in my heart, man.
Yeah, and it is, other than The Shining, which was not very, I mean, you can ask Stephen King, it's not close to what the novel.
The book is, yeah.
Which, you know, that's okay with me because the fucking amazing movie. Mm-hmm. But this is the best adaptation of a Stephen King novel
mm-hmm.
closest to the book.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what Dr. Sleep gives us.
And future adaptations, especially if they go this route.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially if they figured out, oh, we can make really good fucking Stephen King movies. Instead of, like, the shit we get, like, Silver Bullet or whatever.
Yeah. I did hear a lot of good things about Geralt's Game on Netflix in 1922.
1922, no, I haven't watched 1922.
Yeah.
And I need to watch those.
Geralt's Game was pretty good, too, apparently. I haven't watched it, but I heard a lot of good things about Geralt's Game. But Castle Rock was, okay, it was a little bit too long.
Nah, it could have been better.
A little bit too long for my taste, you know?
Could have been better.
Yeah, well, a lot of things about that show could have been better. But look, I can't wait for chapter two, man. I can't wait to see how the adult losers do. But, I, you know, I just like these, the kid losers, and I think that they're just fucking
well. And if it's like the miniseries, you'll have cutbacks and flashbacks to the Losers Club and them growing up. So these are not the last time we get to see these child actors.
Yeah, because they're fucking awesome, man. I love all of them. And I know that Finn Wolfhard said that all of the kids on that cast are his best friends. So they're constantly in contact with each other.
I mean, when you come into a movie and you're basically growing up set with these people, and you end up making a blockbuster this movie shouldn't have been a blockbuster. Everything on paper, and we said this before, everything on paper, this movie should not have been a blockbuster.
Yeah.
And it just so happens, it was so freaking incredible and good that it became one.
Well, we're hoping for the best for Chapter 2, man. And look, what's it called? I don't know what I gave. I do not remember a lick of what I gave chapter one and in episode two, but I'll just go ahead and say here, I give it chapter one a 9.5 out of 10. I think it's great. I think that there's moments that I just absolutely adore, but it's just missing that little bit of, a little speck of something for me to say it's perfect. But,
it's not perfect in a few places.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's some acting that kind of falls flat. Sometimes the jokes don't always hit.
I think it's just the timing on some of the lines. They kind of feel weird, some parts. But I think that it's an incredible effort by everybody in the cast, but especially Andy Muschietti. And what's it called? I can't wait to see what Muschietti does with the rest of his career. And if you guys are wondering how much more we like Muschietti, there will be a story that we're running on Monday's episode about Muschietti that broke today, but we can't do it today because what's it called? We gotta wait until Sunday to record the news episode. So, Brad, what do you give It Chapter One?
Same as you, 9.5 out of 10.
9.5 out of 10.
Great movie. Go buy it.
Yeah, it's not that expensive actually. I believe it's $9.99 on Amazon for the Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's where I bought it. Not for Blu-ray. I just bought it digital, but it's $9.99 digital HD.
Well, Brad. Actually, on HD, I believe it's $6.99 on Vudu for HD.
Meh.
If I remember correctly. I can't remember too well.
It's in my library.
Yeah, but one day you're not going to have that library if that service goes under. Well, it's Amazon. It's never going under.
It's Amazon.
It's never going under.
Yeah.
Well, either way, buy physical media, man. What's it called?
Then I have to store it in my house.
Yeah, but one day when the internet is no more and you want to watch a movie, how are you going to watch it?
So if the internet's no more and DVD players are no more, then I might as well read a fucking book.
Well, whatever. All right. So this has been a great episode. I loved revisiting this movie. I believe Brad loved talking about this movie for like the 1,000th time that he already has talked about it before. And I love this movie, man. And I can't wait for Chapter 2 next weekend.
I'm just surprised that I wasn't on that episode.
Me neither.
Because I've done so many of these fucking episodes that it's kind of felt like I've just always been here, but there was a time before me.
There was a time before you. Yeah. I love that. There's a time before you, Brad. So, go ahead and leave a rate and review on your podcast app of choice. It really does help the feed grow. Also, you might want to go ahead and check us out on Twitter at the Nerdcore _ Instagram at the Nerdcore, Facebook page, the Nerdcore Pods. Go and check out the Facebook group, the Nerdverse, the official Nerdcore group. It's going to be a pretty good time there when It Chapter 2 comes out, and we can finally get some discussion in there about that movie. So go ahead and go do that stuff because it should be freaking awesome. Also, go ahead and check out the Patreon, patreon.com/nerdcore, because we do a lot of cool stuff on there. And we're bringing Space Jam this weekend to the Patreon. So if you're a $2 patron and above, you're going to get that review. So that should be fun because I didn't overshoot for that one. Of course, that one's always been at the last week. But I overshot for the other reviews for sure. So, go ahead and check that out. Go ahead and check out the website as well. Should be a fun time there. I'll probably either one of us, whoever gets to watch it first, will probably do a written review of It Chapter 2 before we get to do an audio version. So that should be fun. Excuse me. Now I want to burp into the microphone. Executive producers, though, you got to follow them. Grayson. You can follow him on Twitter at WarlordHitman98. on Instagram at Warlord at Grayson Barker 98, and also the associate producer Sarah. Gotta love Sarah. Thank you, Sarah, for being an associate producer. Brad, can you tell us about Shane?
You can follow our friend Shane at twitch.tv/SWRK or his Twitter at SWRK Twitch.
Awesome stuff, man. So, you know, look, when you listen to our podcast, you'll flow too. So go ahead and go ahead and float. Let's go ahead and have them float into the podcast void, Brad.
All right, Ro. Thank you for being host as always. Thank you to Pennywise for being our special guest.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, that's creepy. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. We continue making this, and you continue listening, which is amazing to us because we like making this stuff. Anyways, thank you guys, and I guess in the next episode, I don't even know what the fuck we're doing.
News would be news.
Oh, wow. Wow, I guess I'll see you on the news then. Young Yoda out.